Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome opportunity that we have as your children to come together and to worship you, to spend time learning of you, learning from you. And we thank you for that, Father. We lift up those who are in authority over us. We thank you here locally, Father. We thank you for our church board and the leadership in this church. Father, I ask that you would bless them, that your hand would be upon them. We cover them with the blood of Jesus, Father. And we thank you that they operate and move in wisdom and love. And Father, we thank you for the leadership in the state of California with our governor and those that are in charge of legislature. Lord, we lift them up. We ask also, Father, for the president and for Congress, Lord, and for the Supreme Court. God, we speak protection over them. And we speak divine intervention, Lord, where there might be plans against the leadership in this country and the leadership locally here in this church. Father, we just intervene in the name of Jesus. We declare that every tongue that rises against them, you will condemn. And every sword that comes against them, you shall stop. And we thank you, Father, that there will be a smooth transition in power in this nation, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your hand is in the hand of this nation. Yes. And we pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem, that those who dwell in her might have peace and safety. Father, we thank you that no man can divide your land and not suffer the consequences. We thank you, Father, that you watch over your land. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was talking with a buddy of mine, kind of leading him over my phone in a Bible study on Romans. And who is Israel, and, you know, what does it mean, you know, as a to be a Jew? Because Paul says some interesting things, you know, and then he, you know, he's talking about, you know, Israel being taken out so that others could be grafted in, and what does all that mean? And it'll make a great Bible study when I start one here. but a lot of when it comes to Israel, the land is God's. It's not a man's. So if a man tries to divide up God's land, what do you think is going to happen to the man? He's going to be in trouble because you cannot divide the land of God.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Faith. You can't divide God's land. It's his. It's his eternal inheritance, and he gave it to the Jewish people forever. It's theirs to live in. And if you try to expel the Jewish people from the land, do you know what happens? God gets it back. And buddy, you are in trouble if you try and take the land from them. Every nation that has tried to take the land from him has ended up in the dustbin of history. So you don't want to be siding with dividing the land. Anybody who's trying to divide the land, you want to disassociate with if they will not listen to reason, because it is important not to divide the land. And so we were kind of talking about that a little bit last night, and so that's what I did for New Year's Eve. that and get some stuff ready for tamales and some pozole, and I'm just hungry thinking about it. Anyway, so we were up late kind of doing that and doing this Bible study. Anyway, we're going to talk about expectations. Expectations. We're moving into, on the Gregorian calendar, a new year. The Gregorian calendar is the calendar that we all kind of basically use today. so we're moving in on that. And it seems to me, as I was praying, I was going to start doing a study on the book of Romans for Sunday mornings, not as necessarily a Bible study, but pulling different things out of the book of Romans. I love the book of Romans. And then as I was praying this last week, I just kept hearing expectations. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? What do you expect? What are you expecting for this year? What are you expecting for your life? Are you expecting to just kind of make it by like you did last year and the year before? Are you expecting, you know, I know some people say, well, it's cold and flu season, you better go out and get your flu shot. you know, really buck up on the vitamin C, which is wise to buckle up on the vitamin C. Vitamin C is really good in helping to keep your body strong and your immune system up. And that's a great natural thing you could do. But what are our expectations for our lives? Do you have an expectation? Have you ever thought about, gee, this is where I'd like to be a year from now. This is where I see my life a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Do you think about that? Do you write anything down? Have you ever written anything down? Not just like as in a journal, reporting everything that happened to you today and how you felt about it. Because as I've said before, feelings aren't holy. They're subject to change depending on the climate. Like right now, I feel cold because it's cold outside. In a few months, I'm going to feel hot and I'm going to want that swamp cooler back on. My feelings will change. My feelings will change. My feelings will change. Feelings are subject to change. What about our expectations? When we first got voted in here, I shared from this iPad that we had written down a year and a half previously upon leaving from our vacation spot up in near Truckee that we're just in the car. This is how we did it. We were in that white car, and we just decided we liked it there, and that's kind of where we wanted to be. We wanted to be someplace like that. So we just wrote down in the iPad that we would be living someplace with mountains and trees and lakes, someplace like Tahoe, where I would be the senior pastor in a local church, and we would live in a 3-bedroom house.
And that came true.
It did.
And I'm happy that it did.
Thank you, sweetheart. It was very simple. We didn't give it a lot of time and effort. I mean, that was just what was in our heart. That's what we wanted. So we wrote it down. We didn't spend every day praying over it. We didn't hang it in the hall and hang rosary beads from it and set candles out and light incense. And, you know, it's like, oh, dear God, please make this happen. No, we just put down an expectation, something that was in our heart, something that we saw for ourselves. Did I pull it out of the Bible? I didn't even pull it out of the Bible. But, you know, Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, I know the hopes and plans that I have for you to prosper you and to give you a good life. Now, see, some people right there, when you say prosper, they just prosper. Prosper, 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 prosper. Prosper, 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 prosper. Do you know that God wants us to prosper? When we were in Tulsa and we were going to Bible school, Kathy and I went to school, and we were there from 8:30 till 12:30 every day, Monday through Friday. And she's so good. She would make our sandwiches and our lunch before we went to school. And so we'd get in our car and we'd eat our lunches on the way to our jobs. And I'd drop her off at the orthodontist that she worked at. And then I'd go to my job or, you know, whoever was going to get off first, that's who got the car. And so we did that. And every month, all of our bills were paid. We had food in the house. We had gas in the cars. Our tuition was paid. And sometimes we'd end up with $3 in the bank account. But everything was met. All our needs were met. We were prosperous. We had more than what we needed, right? And then we'd say, well, we sure would like to go out to lunch this Sunday. Yeah, but, you know, we've got Top Ramen and canned chicken at home, so that's what we're going to have. And somebody would come up to us and they'd say, hey, would you like to go out to lunch with us today? And we'd say, well, you know, we're kind of guarding where we spend our money at. And no, you don't understand. We want to take you out. And someone would take us out. Well, how is that? Well, that's God meeting our needs. And not only is he meeting our needs, but that was just a desire of our hearts. We wanted to go out. Oh, and they would take us nice places, Zio's Italian Kitchen, Macaroni Grill. Good food. You know, there's a lot of, unlike here, there's a lot of restaurants in Tulsa. Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere. And people refer to Tulsa as Jerusalem West, because there's a church on every corner, right next to the buffet. It's the truth. Expectations. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. expectations. And when we're done, I'm going to ask everybody not to do it right now today, but this week, just write out an expectation. Maybe two or three expectations that you have for the upcoming year. And just, when you think about it, thank God for it. Maybe it doesn't happen this year, but you keep it on there until it does. Not a bucket list. Don't plan for your demise. But an expectation list. I like expectation lists better. I expect to do this. I expect to go there. You know, 2.5 years ago, Kathy said that the Lord told her that her next car was a Ford Escape. That's what we drive now. She has a Ford Escape. We weren't planning for it. We needed a new car. Man, that worked out so well for us, though. Mark chapter 9. So Jesus has been at the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's meeting up there with Elijah and Moses, and you know they're having a great time up there. And the rest of his disciples are down the mountain, and they're healing people. People are coming to them, and they're laying hands on people because that was what Jesus told them to do. He gave them the word to go forth and to heal and to lay hands on the sick in his name. And so this one man comes, and he's got a son, and he's got problems. And, you know, he has seizures and would throw himself into the fire and throw himself into the water, and he almost drowned and he almost burned. And the disciples prayed for him, and nothing happened. And so Jesus comes back, and he asks them, he says, What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes at the teeth. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to Jesus, and he saw him. Immediately the spirit convulsed. Isn't that interesting? As soon as this young man with the spirit sees Jesus, he begins to convulse. Huh. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him." So what is the father doing? He's recounting to Jesus how long this has been happening, what happens, how severe it is. He says, "But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, if you can do anything." Jesus said to him in verse 23, "If you can believe." The man's question is to Jesus, "If you can do anything." Jesus' response is, "If you can believe." If you can believe. Faith or faithless is the same thing as believe. It's the same Greek word, pistos, which means believe. So if you are faithless, that means you do not believe. Right? Because if you have faith, you believe. Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And immediately the deaf and dumb spirit was removed from him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you do not believe, you cannot. If is the biggest word in this entire conversation. If. If you can do anything, have compassion. If you can believe, Jesus, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things. There's no limitation put on that, is there? Is there a, if you can believe, with the exception of prospering, with the exception of a new car, with the exception of a better life, right? There's no exception on it. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So what is the thing that is our responsibility? To believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to you. No exception. All things. I love that. All things. There's no limitation. Jesus is telling you, whatever you believe for, if you believe, all things are possible. You don't have to get a cold every January just because you always used to. Put that behind you. You don't have to live from paycheck to paycheck. You can have more. God wants you to have more. If you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Whose responsibility is it to believe? Ours. Our responsibility. Hey, listen, I have to check myself on that all the time too. You know what I mean? If the man says, if this is his badge of doubt, he's wearing this, if you can do anything, Lord, if only God would hear my prayers, if only, hey, listen, we've lost two babies. If only. I've been there. You got to go back and you got to recheck yourself. You know what I'm saying? If. But all things are possible to them who believe. He is willing and able. And we can see that again. You can write these down. Matthew 8, 3. Luke 5, 13. Mark 1, 41. It is important. I was not going to have us turn to them. Luke 1:41. We'll start in verse 40. Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Man's got leprosy. You know what leprosy does? I mean, pieces of your body start falling off. Ears fall off, fingers fall off, toes fall off, noses fall off. You know, it's leprosy. If you touch somebody with leprosy, odds are you're going to get leprosy. This man comes to him and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Can. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Is Jesus willing? Who's responsible to receive? The man with the leprosy. I am. It's my responsibility. If I die from some disease, it's not his fault. He's willing. Whose fault is it if I die? It's mine. I failed to receive somehow. It's not part of God's bigger plan. Okay? We have some very good friends. They had 7 kids or so, and the youngest one was in high school, and the dad got cancer. Was it God's will for that father to be removed from his son's life, his young son who's still in school? No. What is the bigger plan or purpose for that? He's supposed to be there to raise his kids, right? Is it God's plan? John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I have come to give life and that more abundantly. If it's killing, stealing, or destroying, it's not God. God doesn't have a bigger plan that involves the devil's weapons. His weapons are life and that more abundantly. I've got life and that more abundantly. And we still speak every night to faith's eye. We command life and that more abundant. Who gives life and that more abundant? Jesus, if it's killing, stealing, and destroying, who is it?
Devil.
It's the devil. Jesus doesn't do that. Let's look at Luke. Well, it's important to build a good basis. Luke 5. We'll start in verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man was full of leprosy, and Jesus said, and saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is the same thing. He then put out his hand, touched him, and saying, I am willing, be cleansed. He's willing. Nowhere in here are you going to find where Jesus says, I'm not willing and I'm not able. Nowhere. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where God is not willing or able. We were talking yesterday about Abraham. And Abraham came and he was talking to God because God had told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for a number of reasons, okay? And Abraham's nephew, Lot, is living there with his family. And he says, Lord, if you can find 100 people in Sodom, will you spare it? Yeah. God said, yeah. That's mercy. Well, what if you find 10 people? Yeah. Kathy and I were talking. Wouldn't it have been nice if Abraham had taken it one step further? Right? He should have. What if you can find one righteous person in all of the city? Will you spare it? What do you think God would have said? For one person. One person. Would God have spared the entire city? He would have spared it for 10. Why not for one? Abraham had come to him. They were sitting together. They were reasoning together. Abraham was interceding on behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's got his nephew there. Unfortunately, there were fewer than 10 people. If he'd have taken it just to the one more, just one step down, imagine the testimony. Jonah goes to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go. His expectation is he wants them to be destroyed. That's what he wants. But he goes, and what happens? Everybody repents. God spares them. Of course, eventually later they turn back to their pagan ways. And then they, you know. God is willing. He's not looking to destroy us. He's not looking to find something that you've done that's so horrible or heinous, that's just life-wrecking, that he can destroy you for. No, he loves you. He loves us. I love that song this morning. Although the whole time I'm singing it, oh, how he loves me. You know, I thought to myself, well, what about everybody else? Well, I don't know about them, but I know he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. How he loves us. He's willing. He wants us to eat the good of the land. That's what he wants. His expectation is for us to have a good, long life. He wants that for us. He doesn't want sickness and disease. He didn't want my mom to die from cancer. My mom had already been healed and received healing from multiple sclerosis. That's one for the records. You know what I'm saying? But she was tired. I asked her what she wanted. She said, I don't know. She was tired. She was ready to go. You know what I'm saying? That was her choice. Faith, at one point, with all the surgeries and everything she had a combined vision of 20/20 in both eyes. So the devil sought to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, we're believing for life and that more abundant still. I mean, if he could have taken her from blind in that eye before, can he fix it again? Yes, of course he can.
He will.
That's right, he is. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah. I like old Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now this is a very specific meaning. But it is purposeful for us. If we are willing, we are those that have had our sins cleansed. We're white as snow. We're like wool. If we're willing and obedient. See, at one point you had to be willing and obedient to receive salvation, didn't you? You received it. It's a free gift. Everything that comes with it is a free gift. It's a part of that life with Him. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you rebel, or if you say, you choose not to believe. If I say, I don't believe that, am I going to get it? Nope. If I don't believe that healing is for me today, I'm going to die and I'm going to say, well, God's going to get some sort of glory out of it. Because that's what some people say. There's no glory in you dying early. God doesn't get any glory out of that. I mean, you do. You get to go on to glory. Early. But there's no glory in that. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He has it there. There's good in the land. If you're willing and you desire it, you're obedient to partake of it, you can have it. There's good in the land. Think about that. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were in the desert, God had a land overflowing with milk and honey. The first group said no. The second group said yes. We can say no to it and spend our lives as Christians in the desert. I'm barely getting by street. Suffering. Or we can say yes and we can go in and He will go with us. And He will conquer the enemies that are before us. And He will give us the good land. I saw an image of these girls carrying this giant cluster of grapes. I mean, the grapes were this big and the cluster was huge. And it made me think about the clusters of grapes that the spies brought back. But they said, but there's giants. What is your expectation? Is your expectation to die at the hand of the giants? So you're just going to stay in the wilderness? Or is your expectation, God's got our back on this? God's going to help us. I've been in the wilderness and I've seen how, my sandals didn't wear out for 40 years. Did you know that that's in the Bible? Some people be like, I am tired of this style though. Yeah, but look, they're not wearing out. I was at Safeway. Day before Christmas, I think it was. And I was wearing my boots. I'd had them for like 20 years. And I'm walking through Safeway, and I'm like, wow, it feels weird all of a sudden. It's like, and it makes this weird clop. It was holding on by the toe. The entire sole had fallen off. Mine only lasted for 20 years. Theirs lasted for 40. Hey, listen, even when they were in rebellion, God took care of them on a limited capacity to keep them alive because He knew that there'd be another generation who'd come in behind them who'd believe Him. Who'd say, yeah, I believe you. I'm going to believe for the better. They expected more. I expect more. Oh, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. And the thing is that God is not going to force anything on you. He didn't force salvation on you. He's not forcing salvation on your neighbor that you get your leaf blower out and blow leaves into their yard because they're from their tree and you're just putting them back where they came from. He's not forcing that person to get saved and He's not forcing you to be nice. You know what I'm saying? My uncle used to say he hated leaf blowers. Do you know why? Because they blew leaves into other people's yards. Yeah, it was the leaf blower's fault. It's just like it's that spoon's fault that I eat too much at Christmas time. Oh, man, I'm telling you, we've had so much good cookies and fudge and candy. Y'all have been such a blessing. I've got boxes of cookies. And you've got to go through every night and take one from each box and eat it. Because you don't want them to go bad. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Oh, if only I could actually, pray over my food and cast all the calories and bad fats out, right? Come on! Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, man, I'm going to get me another one of those praline caramel lattes from Starbucks and cast all the fat out. Oh, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Hey, you know, God said that laughter is good like medicine. Come on, laughter is the best medicine you can get. Even science proves that laughing more makes you healthier. Laughing more gets your immune system up. It gets rid of depression. Did you know that going outside and playing in the dirt has immune effectiveness that helps build up your immune system and gets rid of depression? You depressed? Go out and play in the dirt. Go out and play. That's right. God made the dirt. The dirt don't hurt. All right. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1. Here we go. God made the dirt. The dirt don't hurt. Just don't eat the dirt. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what you believe. It literally means believe. Believe. Faith means believe. Faithless means no belief. Now, faith is the substance. What does substance mean? Substance is what it literally means. It means like the foundation. This thing right here. Can you build a house that's going to stand up without this?
No.
What's going to happen? It's a tent that's going to blow away. Because it's a tent. Right? But the substance is this foundation right here. Who is the substance of your life?
Jesus.
Jesus is our foundation. The promises of God are our foundation. The promises. He said, these things will come to you if you believe. They're the promises. You're going to have plenty in your storehouse. Your women won't be barren. Come on. Women are going like...
Not anymore.
It's a substance. It is the foundation or structure. It's not the walls. The walls are not the substance. The substance is the structural foundation. It's that thing up in Alaska, because they have so many earthquakes and the kind of soil that they have up there. Some places they have to go down 18 feet with the pillars and the rebar to hit solid ground. And so when you have an earthquake that's a 6.3 and you're standing there going, hey, did we just have an earthquake? It's because the foundation is strong. That we had one, it was a 6.5. I'm there and I'm watching things shake around. And I went upstairs afterwards. I said, hey, did you kids feel anything? They're like, no.
Yeah.
They're on the second floor. They felt nothing. Why? Because they had a good structure, a good foundation. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Your structure, our structure, our foundation has to be built on the Word of God.
Amen.
If you can believe. So structure, substance. What you believe is the foundation. Okay? What is that word I'm looking for? Defining. We're defining these words in an easy way to translate. We're translating. Faith, what you believe, is the structural foundation of things hoped for. Now, what kind of hope is that? Gee, I sure hope it snows. Gee, I sure hope that tire doesn't go flat again. It's been flat 3 times this week. Hope. The biblical word here for hope is not, I hope it snows. It is that you have a firm reason to believe something. Okay? You're married. You have a marriage contract. You're not hoping that you're married. You have a contract. We have a covenant. When you became born again, when you surrendered your life to Jesus, you entered into a covenant. If you'll remember when my friend Teresa was here and she was talking about covenant and how covenant works and different kinds of covenant. When you enter into a covenant, you're coming into an agreement with God himself. If he says he's going to do something for you, he's going to do it. But you have to do your part too. We have to come alongside, be willing and obedient, and do what he says to do. It's a covenant. That's what the hope is there. It's built on something sure and solid. You have an expectation that it's going to hold out. Let me have this chair. This chair is probably, you know, rated for weight. A lot of chairs are weight rated. But I can come up to this because I'm in the weight rating. I can sit down in this chair and it's going to hold me up. I don't have to question it. I don't have to hope that it does. It's got a steel reinforced structure, right? And I know that it's there, that it's solid. That's hope. That's what this hope is. It's an expectation. Expectation. That something that is substantial. Every 4 years, you get to go out and vote. You don't have to hope you get to. You know you're going to. Teenagers, when they turn 16, there's one thing that they're expecting. A driver's license. And unless there's a rule in the house that you don't get to drive till you're 18, that's a good rule, by the way. I'm just saying. Whatever state you're in, you know that once you reach that age, you can go out and you can apply for your driver's license and you can take your driver's test. That's expectation. That's hope. Hope is an expectation. So let's read this again now. Now what you believe is the foundation of things you expect. Faith is belief. Faith is the foundation of things expected. It is the evidence. Evidence is proof or conviction. Proof. You watch like crime shows. They come and they've got proof. Proof that somebody did something. Proof that a crime was committed. It is proof. It is a conviction. Proof. Proof solid. What you believe about this next year should be based on your belief. Faith is the foundation of things expected. It is the proof of things not seen. That's faith. Faith is what you believe. When you have an expectation with God, you have something that is built on substance. It has a foundation. You have proof. Because it's written in his word. This is the greatest proof in the whole wide world right here. If you didn't have this, you wouldn't have proof that you could be saved. You'd still be hoping that you could be good enough. There's a lot of religions out there. If you'll do this and that and you just keep this up, then if you're good enough, maybe you'll get a better life. And some people think, well, if I'm good enough in this life, maybe I'll get a better life next time. Reincarnation. You know, but we have this as our proof. We have history on our side. You know, the book of Acts is literally a book of history about things that actually literally happened. The Gospels, history about things that actually literally happened. Testimony of people that were there and saw it. People that were there and were a part of it. Our faith, our belief, is built on the substance. It is built on the foundation of the life of Jesus Christ, on the promises of God, on the history of God working with his people throughout history. 3,000 years of history has the Jewish people in Israel. Even in 1918, there were Jewish people living in this state of Palestine. Do you know why it was called the state of Palestine? Because when they kicked the Jewish people out, they didn't want the Jewish people calling it Israel anymore. It's a made-up name, made up by conquerors. It was still Israel in 1938. The flag flying in Palestine was a white flag with two blue stripes and the Star of David in the middle. The same flag they have today. They have been there for 3,000 years. Our history as believers dates back to Israel, the places where Jesus went. This is history. It's fact. If God said something, he's going to do it. We're in a covenant with him. So when you have an expectation, your expectation isn't built on the Velveteen Rabbit. It's not built on any book by C.S. Lewis, right? Or Harry Potter. It's not make-believe, it's real. What's here is real. There's historical evidence for Isaiah and Jeremiah. There's historical evidence for King David and King Solomon. There's historical evidence going all the way back. Listen, this is our foundation. You can stand on this anytime, just like you can sit in that chair and you don't have to worry about it. It's going to hold you up. This is going to hold you up. This is our foundation. If our foundation is not found here, then our foundation is weak. You didn't get the air bubbles out. You need to get the air bubbles out. 3 John 2, and I'm going to give you some scriptures for helping to build your expectation list, and then we'll close out. 3 John chapter 2, or verse 2, rather. Who inspired the Bible to be written? The Holy Spirit. Did he speak through holy men appointed by God? So we consider this the Word of God, right?
Yes.
3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. This morning, your soul is prospering by hearing the Word of God. As a result of your soul prospering, God's desire is, as your soul prospers, so you may prosper and be in health. That's not a spiritual thing. It's a natural thing. Do you need health in your when you go to heaven? Do you need prosperity when you get to heaven? No. Where do you need it? Here. Because this world runs on money, doesn't it? Here is where you need physical healing, isn't it? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I thank you, Lord, that I am in health and prospering. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's look at a couple things that God said through Moses to his people. And these are the promises that we have because we are in him. Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments or the word of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. You shall be the head and not the tail. I pray that all the time. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can't go under for going over. Come on, I don't care what the circumstances look like. I'm the head and not the tail.
Amen.
I'm above only and not beneath. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm overcoming.
Jesus.
And that's why you can say you're an overcomer, because you're on top.
Yes.
You ought to always come out on top, no matter what happens to you. You come out on top.
Amen.
Even if you don't feel like you're on top, you're on top.
Amen.
You're on top. Don't ever take the position of underneath. You're always on top. You're the head. You're the first one coming in. Right?
Amen.
You're not the tail that gets slammed in the door. Stop being the tail that gets slammed in the door. You're the head.
Amen.
Exodus 15:26. I got my amen corner right there. Exodus 15:26. Remember, these are your scriptures to help you determine what your expectations ought to be. Right? Some help. Exodus 15:26. And God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these, and what that really means is, I will not allow any of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Amen.
Listen, the curse is not for you. Sickness and disease is not for you. If you are willing and obedient, if you will follow the voice of his commands, if you will listen to him and hearken to his word, none of those things will come on you because he is the Lord who heals you. He's yours. You're his. He's your healer. He is the Lord who heals you. Let's take it one more. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. Y'all are getting punchy.
It's a new year.
Come on. I want you to read this. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth.
Amen.
That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He gives you the power to get wealth. What for? What does it do? We just read it there. It establishes his covenant, which he made with you and your fathers. Wealth is a sign that you're in covenant with him. Look, he paved streets with gold. He's the one who put the jasper and the gold and the rubies and the emeralds and all of those things in the garden. He's the one who put them there. They're his. The earth and all the fullness thereof is the Lord's. If you're in covenant with him, then those things are yours as well. When you have wealth, it is a sign that you're in covenant with him. Everywhere the gospel goes, the poverty index decreases and wealth increases.
Amen.
Why? Jesus said, the gospel is good news to the poor. What is the best news to the poor? You got some money coming, honey. You don't have to be poor anymore. If you're sick, you can be made whole. God wants us to grow and prosper and live in health in every area of our lives. Every aspect of your life should be growing. It should be prospering. Listen, when you're able to go through something and come out, you might smell a little bit like smoke, but you're on the upside. You came through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. What am I doing? I'm walking through it. Are you going to stay there? Are you going to camp there? Oh, this is where I live. I live in the valley of the shadow of death.
No.
Come on over and visit me sometime. Oh, uh-uh. I'm not coming to visit you in the valley of the shadow of death unless I'm coming to take your hand and pull you out. That's, come on. God is a big God. He loves us. Listen, as much as I love my children, don't you think he loves us more?
Yes.
If I want to give her something, she has to receive it. I could give her something. She'd say, I don't want that, Daddy. I mean, I've given her stuff and she didn't like it. She's like, I don't like that. She didn't receive it. Right? You give her something she likes. Ooh, Daddy, I like that.
I'll get that.
Do you have more?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Well, he's our Heavenly Father. Don't you think that our Heavenly Father loves us at least that much?
Yes.
If you get sick, don't you think he wants to help you get better?
Yes.
If you're struggling financially, don't you think he wants to help you?
Yes.
I know my dad, I mean, man, gosh, you know, for so many years, Dad, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, now we're going to do a tricky one. We're going to find Habakkuk, okay? It's right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is what we're going to do now. You don't have to do it right here this minute. Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 2, "Then Adonai answered me and said, 'Write down the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that the reader may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end and will not fail.'" You take your expectation. You write it down, make it clear. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but make it clear. You're going to have some expectations for this year. I'm going to write out some expectations for the church for this year. I'm working on them. Got them in here. Okay? We're going to have expectations. Have expectations. Write them down. Make it clear. You don't have to pull it out unless the Lord tells you and read it every day, but make it clear so that you understand it. And let that they who run with it. Listen, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation?
Yes.
So who are they to serve? Us. Hebrews 1:14. Angels are sent to help us. Okay? Make it clear. Pray over it. Maybe take communion over it. But just thank God for it. Make some expectations. If they don't come this year, just keep holding on to it. God's got to work through people. Did you know that? People aren't always willing and obedient. You know what I'm saying? But he's got to work through people. Make your expectations, make them clear. Your expectations should include things like being healthy, having a good job, making better income. When we first got to Raymond, we were at Tulsa, and it was our first Sunday there, and there were thousands of people at the church. And so instead of having people come forward for prayer requests, you know, if you've got a prayer request, raise your hand, and people will come around you and pray for you. So we raised our hands. It was our first Sunday there. We'd only been there a couple of days. And these two ladies came over, and they said, "Well, what can we pray for you for?" And we said, "Well, we just got here last week, and we need jobs." So they went, "Jobs! Jobs! Lord, we declare jobs! Jobs, jobs, better jobs! Hallelujah! Thank you, Father, for jobs! Thank you, Father, for opening doors of opportunity for jobs in Jesus' name." And they're like, "Oh, we're so glad you're here." You know what? We both went out and got great jobs that week. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take a lot. What's your expectation? Get your expectations. Write them down. Spouses, write them with your wives, your husbands. Maybe make some with your kids. Make expectations. That's what we did when we wrote things about coming here. We didn't know there was here. We were in the car, all four of us. And Faith said, I want a three-bedroom house. So we said, okay, we'll put that on. Just I want trees. Okay, we'll put that on. You know, it was simple. Make your expectations. Make your list. Have something that you're expecting. Get yourself ready to receive. When we have an expectation, then we're preparing ourselves to receive. Right? You're not expecting to receive if you don't have an expectation. Amen? Good? Good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we expect this year that you're going to increase us. That you're going to increase, and I believe, Father, you're going to increase the people that are here. You're going to increase them financially. You're going to increase them in physical strength. I thank you, Father, that you are increasing this church. That you are bringing increase to this church, both financially and with people, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your plan is for this church to prosper. Your plan is for this church to grow. Your plan is for the people here to prosper and grow and be in health, even as our souls prosper. So, Father, we thank you that we are prospering. We thank you that we are healthy. We thank you, Lord, that we are walking in the abundance of the plan and the call for you in our lives here today and throughout this next year. In Jesus' name, amen.